Amen. Thank you, Henry and choir, for that wonderful taste of heaven. It is a new beginning. Today marks my first sermon as your new senior pastor, and today together we embark upon a new journey. Rebecca, Maggie, and I have been relishing this first week here in Carrollton, Georgia. Your many acts of hospitality and welcome have been a blessing to us as we have resided peacefully and joyfully on Hog Liver Road. Trust me, it is much more beautiful than it sounds. As we've been discussing the joy of new beginnings, we've been so thankful for a new church family, beginning to understand in our hearts and minds all that God is prepared for those who are loved by Him. And it's in that spirit that I want us to launch into a new series in this new year to capture spiritually what also is a cultural phenomenon, as so much of our world is open to new possibility because the calendar has switched from 2021 to 2022. What story could help me in this journey? Well, it's been none other than the story captivated in our media as of late, as billionaires like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Sir Richard Branson have begun to bore and tire of this lowly world. They have endeavored to create new businesses under the names of SpaceX and Blue Origin and Virgin Air, so that they now will leave the surly bonds of Earth and shoot up into the upper stratosphere of space. Yes, your trips to the beach or the mountains are somewhat pedestrian for these gentlemen. They now want to endeavor into space tourism. And as they've begun to metaphorically launch these businesses, they've invited some prominent names of celebrity types to come along with them. Of course, for the lowly fee of $250,000 to $1 million. And who would be one of the names that they should select, but none other than William Shatner? At 90 years old, he proves that my friend Patty Brown Traylor is primed to be the next person in space flight. For those of you who do not know, William Shatner played Captain Kirk on the Starship Enterprise and was the first one to coin the phrase to go boldly where no man has gone before. And so he did, getting on Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin flight and going into flight into outer space for 7 minutes. Listen to what Shatner said upon returning to Earth, not only for Bezos, but of course for the large media that was assembled. "What you have given me is the most profound experience. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. I just hope I can never recover from this. I hope that I can maintain what I feel now. I don't want to lose it. It's so much larger than me and life. It has to do with the eternity and enormity and the quickness and the suddenness of life and death. Everybody in the world needs to do this. It was so moving to me. This experience, it's something unbelievable." If you notice, Shatner said that everybody in the world needs to do this. But would we? Would you? I endeavored on employing a very scientific poll through Facebook, asking the following: if you were invited to go free on one of these following spaceships, would you? And please state why you would or why you wouldn't. Here are some of the answers I got. Maybe some of them are yours. "Yes, I always wanted to be an astronaut." "No, it would be too much money that could be better used to help feed the hungry or house the homeless." "Yes, I would love to see God's creation from above." "No, I'm 85 years old and I'll be up there soon enough." " Yes, I would go in a heartbeat. No, not in your wildest dreams. My feet aren't leaving the planet Earth. And lastly, yes, but only if it lands in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. What would I say? Well, I would say yes, but it would come with a few caveats. You see, I'm that person that will get on the flight or the roller coaster or, lately with my daughter Maggie, the parasail ride in a heartbeat. But as soon as I strap myself in for takeoff, I begin to get a weird feeling in the pit of my stomach. That feeling that I could be one out of 1 trillion where something really does go wrong. And it's in those moments that I need a voice of reassurance, a voice that instills calm within me so that whatever this new beginning is that I'm about to embark upon is going to be okay. And ultimately, it's going to be for my good. That when I get through with the trip, it will be something soon, like Chatner said, that I don't ever want to recover from. That it's an unbelievable experience that I want to carry forward with me for the rest of my life. New beginnings. They're not easy. We all want to hear the words, we have liftoff, but getting to that point is so incredibly difficult. The Word of God says something to us very important. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, that which you heard Rebecca sing, and then that which you heard David speak, we see a people who were on the precipice of a new beginning. And unsurprisingly, they too are scared, concerned, worried. It's split opinions between those who were saying they will go and those who were saying they won't. It's none other than ancient Israel, a group of people that in this point in time has lived in captivity for 80 years. You might remembering the voice of the prophet Jeremiah saying, "You will be in captivity for 80 years. And there in the city of Babylon, I want you to invest and work in that city's good name. Prosper your lives, have your children, but do not give up the hope that one day God will make possible your way of return to your homeland, your national identity, and the place of encounter with God that is none other than Jerusalem itself." And lo and behold, in Isaiah chapter 43, God says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who formed Jacob, he who created and established Israel, folks, it's time to go home. It's time for a new beginning. Israel is in doubt. They don't know if they want to, in fact, embark upon this new beginning. They want to hear we have liftoff, but oh, it seems like they have grown accustomed to being second-class citizens in Babylon, places where they don't have free agency to establish their own course, places where their spirituality and their connection with the Lord is captivated, limited, perhaps even endangered of being lost." So this is what God says to them. Words that, spoiler alert, do in fact inspire them to let go and let God. For as you read your Bible, the later books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell of a people who do leave the bonds of captivity as King Cyrus of Persia comes and defeats the Babylonian army and then decrees all people who were once captive to Babylon to return to their homelands. They go. They go boldly where no man has gone before. So what is it that God says to them? What is it that he could say to you and to me so that we too might have a new beginning? The first thing that God says to them and also to us is the following. Don't be afraid. Do you know one of the words that most strikes fear into the hearts of people is in fact the word new? New can send a shiver down anyone's spine because it speaks of the unknown, things that are foreign to us. But in this word new, God actually has us right where he wants us. For in this state, we are people who were able to be molded and melded in conformity to his will. Jesus Christ himself said, I have come to make all things new. And the Apostle Paul says later that everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. So, my friends, when we hear the word new, yes, scary, but full of possibility. And that's why God says to us, when he knows within us our trembling hearts and worried consciences, don't be afraid. Not just because God says so, but because historically and personally, he has proven to you who he in fact is. God says in the scripture that he is your redeemer, as he was Israel's. He takes things that virtually have no worth, and he makes such an extravagant exchange for them so that the things that are worthless become priceless. And then on top of that, he says, I will protect you. The waters of floods of life that can sweep us away or the fiery trials, they will not consume us. God's alluding to not only the waters of the Red Sea that he parted, but also the fiery furnace through which he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's saying those waters, those fires cannot hurt those people who have faith in me. And that is ultimately what we have to possess in order to begin a new beginning. You and I have to have faith that God is who he says he is. God is protector. God is redeemer. And it's not just the story of long ago. It is something in the very here and now that can come true for any heart that says, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I will not be afraid because I know that I have a perfect love which can cast out any fear. The next thing that God says to us is of no less importance as he says the words that every human heart needs and yearns to hear from the time that we were born to our last breath. God says, I love you. Imagine God speaking to a people who were homeless, countryless, penniless, and saying, you are cherished. You are mine. When I think of Israel, I don't think of all your many years of waywardness and woe and being stiff-necked people. What I think of is a covenant, agape, sacred, divine love, which will never let you go. And for those reasons, when I say I love you, I am empowering you to know that whatever is in the future is not ever going to be greater than the love that is within my heart. So many of us need to return to that very foundational and fundamental truth today. God loves you. Something that our hearts yearn to hear, and perhaps something that we haven't heard in far too long. For if we're honest, many times, even when we have grown up in church, we've been taught that God is one of judgment, punishment, looking for the first opportunity to hit you with a lightning bolt from above. But that's not God. God is love, and he will give anything so that you can be rightly established and reconciled to him. He says to Israel, the great names of Seba and Cush and Egypt have nothing in comparison to the love I have for you. Why, in a moment's notice, I would ransom all of them so that you would again be mine. And the same is true today. The love of God for you is so strong, so mighty, that there's nothing on this side of eternity that God would not do so that you would know that he loves you. And in fact, he already has. He sent Jesus, the perfect embodiment of agape love. Jesus that we celebrated his birth at Christmas time. Jesus who came here on earth in the form of man to live, to serve, to die, and to be resurrected so that we would know that God is love. And that in Christ Jesus, all things are possible and new beginnings await all of us. The last thing that God says is everyone. Everyone. He says to the captors of the people that he calls by name, what the people he calls his own children, to let them loose, to not hold them back, to send them forward to a new beginning. Everyone is supposed to be a part of a journey together to Jerusalem. And in this new beginning, First Baptist Church Carrollton, everyone is supposed to be a part of our new beginning as we journey towards the place that God has planned for us. Everyone, everyone. That means you and me, and there's only one way that's gonna happen. We gotta be here, don't we? I'm not talking about Christers. I'm talking about commitment. Commitment to this church, committed people of God who say week in and week out, the life of this church is a priority to me personally and that to my family. It means rearranging some family calendars. It means parents saying church comes first over sport, over academic, over social clubs, church, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Bible studies, worship services. That's everyone together, everyone in this new beginning. It requires an all-in type philosophy and heart set. I know that many of us are tuned into a game of national intrigue tomorrow night, aren't we? Some of us are saying, go Dogs. Others of us are saying, roll Tide, roll. And some of us are crying out, can't they both lose? I bet that if someone offered you a ticket to that game right here and right now and said, it's all yours, you would stop at nothing, even if it meant driving all night to Indianapolis to go and see that game. Heck, I'd be right there with you. I love a good football game, and I don't even have a dog in the fight. But let's not lose perspective here. It's just a game. While it is important, it is not ultimate. And the same is true for so much else in life as we talk about everyone going together. Trophies will tarnish. Championship banners will fade. Players' names will be forgotten. But those who stand fast in the word of the Lord and follow Jesus Christ are eternal. Ultimate significance, something that all of us have to come around with in our hearts and minds. Every single one of us. It also occurs to me that everyone includes people who are not here yet, but soon will be. Because this new beginning includes them too. The only difference is they don't know yet. And there's only one way that they're going to know, and I bet you already know the answer. You've got to tell them. I know since my family has moved here to Carrollton, we've invited everyone to this church. The lady at Verizon, the gas station attendant, the stranger I've met on the street, I say there is a new beginning at First Baptist Church Carrollton. You're invited to come and be a part. Are they here today? I don't know. Maybe some are. Maybe some are watching online. Maybe some are holding on to that invitation and are evaluating to see if this church really is who it says it is before they accept. Maybe some received that invitation, and while they won't come to this church, it was a reminder for them to go back to their own. I don't know, and neither will you, but here's one thing I do know. The invitation for Jesus Christ, in which everyone is to be a part and everyone is welcome, is best given to the world when it is an echo of many voices. Your voices, youth and children. Your voices, senior adults. Your voices, parents. Your voices, choir. Your voices, ministers. My voice. All of our voices together saying, everyone, come to the new beginning at First Baptist Church. It's an exciting time. You don't want to miss out. Don't be afraid. I love you. Everyone. Those are the ingredients that we all need to launch into this new beginning. And as surely as I say them and my heart fills with such excitement, I'm telling you all to come on board. Find your seat. You hear the jet plane start to whir. The fuel pump starting to work. The captain comes on. He's saying, fasten your seat belts. Liftoff is imminent. And we're now getting going, right? Because we're starting to taxi down the runway to the right direction. We're picking up speed. Things are shaking. We might get a little tense. We might get a little nervous. We might even be a little scared. But then we remember, don't be afraid. I love you, everyone. And as we let go and let God, we soon hear the words that we all yearn. It's time to go where no man has gone before. No, not to space, but to the wonder of God's order, to the majesty and glory of his name, that place which he is calling and inspiring all of us. And before we realize it, we will have liftoff. There's only one way this will happen, and it's through a resolute commitment from the people of God. I stand before you my first Sunday here at First Baptist Church, and I tell you, I am resolved to this vision. But I can't do it alone. I need you. Are you with me? If you are, I want you to sing now, and I want you to respond. A hymn which captivates this time of commitment for all of you. The words of the hymn say the following: I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Hymn number 501, you stand and you sing and you respond as you feel so led.